As we know, this Abraham is called a friend of God. He's the pioneer, really, of faith. He's called the father of the faithful. And God is bringing before us his life here and giving us some history of the life of Abraham and his call by God. We know in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, when Stephen was before the Sanhedrin giving his exhortation and the history of the children of Israel, said in verse 2, and he said, "Men and brethren, fathers, hearken, listen. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." So based upon the scriptures here in the book of Acts, it tells us in chapter 11 and verse 28, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Is in Ur of the Chaldeans God appeared unto Abraham, and it's there God had said to him, "Get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house." God had told him that way back in Ur of the Chaldeans. But as we look in the portion before us, we know that we see that immediately he was delayed because they stayed at Haran before he started moving on until the death of his father. So I think it's very instructive for us to look at this and see the spiritual import that God will want us to glean this morning.
Very, very instructive to look at the title there in Acts chapter 7. It was the God of Glory. And I think it's very helpful in all of us to change our point of reference at times. Very often our point of reference is me. And I think it behooves us to really, as we grow and as we move on in our lives, that we start to shift the focus and realize that the central person for which all of history is handled and marked by is God Himself. He started all things. He sustains all things. He's bringing all things to the end for His glory. And so it's very helpful to start with God. The Bible starts that way. In the beginning, God. And I think it's good practice to start in all of our lives to start thinking this way. What is God doing now? What is God doing in my life? What is God doing in history? What is God really about? And then the other thing that, and I love the way we can approach the scriptures, is let the scriptures shed light on the scriptures. Mm-hmm. We have Acts 7, it was the God of glory who called Abram. But it also tells us something else in the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua chapter 24, again another commentary on the text that we read in chapter 11 and chapter 12 of Genesis. In Joshua chapter 24, it says, in Joshua, verse 2, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac." Just wanted to highlight the comment in verse 2. They served other gods. And so you have to imagine and see the magnificence of the grace of God. Here you have Abraham and his family. They were all caught up in idolatry, doing and worshiping and worshiping the created beings as opposed to the Creator. And then God of glory appears to him and totally eclipses everything that he was accustomed to. And as he eclipses everything that Abram was accustomed to, he says, "I want you to come out and I want to take you someplace." And so we find also the commentary in Hebrews, it says Abraham went out by faith, not knowing where he was going. And so what occupied Abraham and what ought to occupy our own minds is God is sovereign. He's at work. And he reached you and he reached me where we were. And he says, "I want to take you someplace." And we have to have him eclipse everything that distracts us and holds us back. And it wasn't until situations developed that Abram got on the move. But the first thing is, he was overwhelmed and awed that it was the God of glory who appeared to him, compared to all the other gods that he was used to. Gods who didn't speak, gods who didn't do anything. And now here is a God who says, "I've got something that I want you to have," and he does it by grace. And so the grace of God has reached to each of us. Why should God even think about you and me? But he did so by his grace, and he calls us out, and he says, "I want to take you someplace." And the challenge is, am I going to follow him? Does the awe of who God is eclipse everything else that occupies my mind and time?
It's interesting, we're first introduced to Abraham and at the end of a long list of names, and there's absolutely nothing special about him mentioned at all. And when you read in Genesis, all of a sudden you come to the end of a list of names, and now, say, one of the main characters in Genesis comes forth basically out of nowhere. And there's nothing special about him. He's not a young man. He's an older man with a wife and with a family. But again, highlighting the sovereignty of God, God is able to look at Abraham and see a quality in there. That quality is one who would be faithful and one who would obey, because those are the two traits that come out in Hebrews 11 about Abraham. By faith, he obeyed when he was called out. And that's all. That's what God saw in Abraham, a man who would, well, recognize his glory and be willing to put aside the idolatry and sin in his life, but one who will be faithful and one who will obey. And those are the two characteristics that God can use. And God takes this, and I say it with respect to this, the father of the faithful, but he takes this nobody and turns him into one who the children of Israel would call their father, the one who is called the father of us, the father of the faithful. And those two qualities, faith and obedience, is where God is able, the two seeds from which God is able to grow his earthly nation.